jobsinkent.com.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 1st of December, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, who isn't here at the moment. She's gone out to make me a cup of coffee and she hasn't come back. So what do you think about that? Anyway, we've got a fabulous show lined up for you in the second part of the show. We've got another great guest to talk to you. We've still got loads of emails and tweets. Do keep them coming in. You can get in contact with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998, 01303 874 998, or you can email us at bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we've still got dozens of tweets coming in, and I will try and read them all out as we go through. Supply My Biz on Twitter. We love VanillaWeb, Jill Serkin and the Business Bunker. We are in Canterbury, but we're not snobs.
I don't get the snob bit. Are they saying that Canterbury is not good enough?
No, they're saying it's better than Whitstable, isn't it?
Really?
Well, or course, Tankerton, to be more precise.
Because Tankerton is the new place to be, isn't it?
It's the new Peckham.
Now I'm there.
Tankerton's the new Peckham, isn't it? Nelson Mandela Estate, Tankerton. Nautilus Yachting, talking about snobby. Nautilus Yachting, would you believe? VanillaWeb, Business Bunker, can you give us a mention, please? We certainly can.
As they sail by.
Yeah, we have plenty of sailing holidays for experienced or novice sailors.
Ooh.
And we're atoll bonded as well.
Of course, my birthday's in May. May 26th.
What's that got to do with the price of bread?
In case you want to get me a sailing course.
Oh, well, a sailing course.
Yeah.
Nautilus Yachting.
Posh sailing is what I like. Because, you know, when
they sound posh.
Well, they do all that leaping around with the boom and things.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to duck and things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not really my cup of tea. I think I'm more sipping on the deck.
You're more not doing any work whatsoever, lazing around.
I don't want to sloosh the deck.
You're more Monaco F1 type yachting.
Possibly.
Is that what you mean?
I don't want to sloosh the
deck. Russian billionaires.
Yeah. An oligarch sort of thing.
Yeah. I got it. I understood. Nautilus Yachting. You can follow them on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Nautilus Charter. All one word. Nautilus. NAUTILUS, Nautilus Charter, on the Twitter, if you fancy a sailing holiday.
I do. I really do. Funnily enough, you know my lovely drinking partner, Ken Lloyd, the graphic designer?
Yeah.
He designed, for an oligarch, a sort of booklet for the rich people that went on these charter yachts on this oligarch, how do I say it?
Oligarch.
am I saying it right? Oligarch.
Yeah. Oligarch, I know. Yeah, Oliver Gark. Yeah.
Not Ollie, our photographer that was on the other day.
I'm not Ollie McNeil. Oligarch.
No, this is an oligarch.
Okay.
But he did, they wanted these beautiful sort of books of photographs and things to give to people that had been on these yachts, on this Russian oligarch's yacht. And they were gold embossed books, absolutely encrusted in gold that Ken Lloyd did. And beautifully
nice one,
photographed too. Yeah.
Coifi Importers.
Oh, coffee, is that?
Yes, CIOFFI, Coifi Importers. Said, did you want some Panettone with that Prosecco, Jules?
Yes, please.
Yeah, that was a daft question, wasn't it? Yeah. And another bottle of Prosecco would also go down. Yeah.
Large.
Yeah.
And iced.
Henry Rosalie has tweeted to say that she's listening in. Thank you, Henry.
Oh, I haven't heard from her for a while.
No, no.
Nice.
And the Meditation Trust that said, we loved singing along to Daydream Believer, which we played earlier.
Yeah, we heard them.
Yeah. Have a great show. Thank you for being so informative as well as entertaining.
I wonder
what they're listening to then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we are quite informative. I'm not sure about entertaining.
No, I'm informative. You're entertaining.
You can't really speak, though.
I can't. I'm still stuck with Ollie the Gark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got somebody else's teeth in, obviously, today.
I've dispensed with teeth.
You?
Overrated teeth.
Well, of course, you are over 60, so, you know, just gums for you.
She has to get that in every week.
Well, most people know it now.
The Meditation Trust also say, hey, Jules, the next Medway course is the 16th of January. And then there's a free talk in Rochester on the 28th of January at 6:30 p.m. meditationtrust.com for info.
You see, I think that would do you good. You would be so less curmudgeonly.
So why have they pointed that question specifically at you?
I'll tell you why, Paul Andrews. Because
it's my Christmas present.
Because I politely asked them when they were talking about our lovely daydream believer when their next course was.
Ah.
Because, you know, Twitter is all about communication, isn't it? As we were chatting about, Keith and I, earlier.
Right.
Keith's nodding.
Okay, and also, Mandy Buring has been back on.
About beards?
Yeah, see, I think you persuaded her.
Oh, right.
Because she's saying, Jules, perhaps I could change my mind if the beard in question was very well maintained.
She could pop round and see my new husband's beard, because he does, you know, when I nag him, as long as he doesn't smell of greasy chicken and things, if I nag him, she could pop round and have a try. I don't mind.
What's this, pimp my beard?
is she married?
Pimp my beard. I don't know.
If she could
She's
send
just
a picture,
tweeting, I don't know.
But if she could send a picture of her new husband, then, you know, maybe we could do a little swapsie.
Blimey.
Just see. You know, let's be avant-garde about this.
Blimey. Well,
you know,
I don't know what to say with that.
It's 2016 coming up, Paul Andrews.
Oh, is that it? Right, okay.
Oh, look, Nautilus Yachting have tweeted back. Have you seen that?
No, go on.
Well, they said, Jules Serkin, sounds like you need your own crew.
Yeah.
But then I think they're suggesting you, because they've put you in it as well after.
Yeah, okay.
Which I don't think you and me, you as my crew, would work.
I'll tell you what, Nautilus, if you put me on a boat with her, you'd be one passenger down pretty quickly, and there'd be a life jacket gone missing as well.
Well,
if I was feeling generous.
I tell you what, Nautilus.
I tell you what, I'd bring my own plank.
I tell you what, Nautilus, I don't think he has ever made me a cup of tea, and Keith Stevenson is my witness.
Indeed.
I trail in from Whitstable every Tuesday.
Tankerton.
Yeah.
Peckham-on-Sea.
And never a cup of tea. Never. Not so much. As. So I don't see him as my crew. Do you, Keith?
I wouldn't stand for it if I was you.
No.
Nah.
Well, I've given
exactly.
up.
Violet Vibes has tweeted, Vanilla Web, shout out please for our awesome Bluetooth speakers. Free gifts with our bumpsters this week. Do give the lovely Kelly, for it as her, a follow on the Twitter. Violet Vibes Limited, LTD, on the Twitter. Your invitation to a Growth Hub launch. I would like to extend an invitation for you to join us and fellow business leaders from across Kent and Medway to celebrate the launch of the Kent and Medway Growth Hub on Tuesday, the 15th of December, 8:30 to 11:30, free to attend, Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce in Ashford. The Kent and Medway Growth Hub is part of a network of 30 hubs across the UK that have been created to help businesses navigate the ever-broadening landscape of business support. The Growth Hub will offer a telephone, web and face-to-face service that will assist businesses to understand what business support is available both locally and nationally, as well as to helping them to access to the latest grants, funding programs and public sector initiatives currently on offer. This is a significant step towards coordinating both public and private sector activity to the greater benefit of the businesses and wider economy of Kent and Medway. I do hope that you'll be able to join us to celebrate the arrival of this much-needed service and look forward to seeing you all on the day. And that's from Joe James, who's the Chief Executive of Kent Chamber of Commerce, Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. You can read an email, then we're going to talk to the lovely Emily,
I think. Thank you. There's No Use Empty celebrates 10 years as it looks to the future. Pioneering Kent initiative heralded as a blueprint scheme for bringing long-term empty properties back into use. This is a good idea. So it's an initiative which has provided much needed homes for families across Kent by bringing long-term empty properties back into use. It's celebrating its 10th anniversary. It launched in 2005. The No Use Empty, which is NUE, collaboration between Kent County Council, the KCC, and the 12 district councils across the county has helped to bring 4,100 empty homes back into use, helping to regenerate deprived urban wards and stimulating local housing markets. And to celebrate the milestone and to coincide with National Empty Homes Week, NUE held a conference to demonstrate the outstanding achievements of the initiative to empty property owners and industry groups, housing associations and local authorities. The No Use Empty is the largest and most successful scheme of its kind in the country and is seen as a beacon of good practice, exemplifying the effectiveness of a county and district county council partnership approach. So how can we find out more about this, Paul Andrews? I guess you're going to put a link to it on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
I am.
Because it is their 10th anniversary. So look them up on Google. It's the NUE No Use Empty. And well done. They're celebrating 10 years at getting empty homes back into use. Sounds fantastic.
We will put a loose link. What's a loose?
Because I said we will put a link
yeah. on the Kent Business Radio website on the community page, and it won't be loose, it will be tightly focused.
You see, really, you're still on that yacht with me.
I'm still dreaming of watching you out on the end of the plank, ready to plummet.
Yeah, you haven't got your sea legs yet, you see. That's your
no, point. I don't need sea legs, mate. I'm going to have you walking the plank.
You are an old sea dog.
I've already booked my yacht with Nautilus.
Hello. Now, I know how much you like a good giggle, and I thought this would might interest you. An evening of laughter is going on. It's the wonderful team at Family Business Place, and they're hosting a fabulous fundraising comedy night on Sunday the 6th of December in Ditton in Kent. And we would love to see you there, so why not share the laughter with friends, family and colleagues? You can have tables of up to 8, and we'd really appreciate the support. To find out more, I'm going to read out a phone number and a tick, so get your pen ready. You can go on to, you can email Amelia, and it's, it's Amalia, A-M for mother, A-L-I-A, at familybusinessplace.com, and the number is 07590830001. And it is, as I said, on Sunday the 6th of December in Ditton.
Fantastic, thank you. We're going to talk to our next guest now.
Can't wait, we have a story.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show, and I need to announce this, and I need to get it right, and I always get it wrong, but I'm going to go for it. It's lovely to see you again, Emily Goulet-Marrett.
That's pretty good.
I'm getting there.
Getting
I've only known
every
you a couple
time.
Of years. I can almost know your name.
It's a strange name, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we ought to explore that sometime. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Emily from Reading Fairies back onto the show. Over a year ago since you were last on, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. The company's just over a year old officially now, so yeah.
Well done.
Fantastic. And you've been really great because you hot-footed it over here from sharing your morning with hundreds and hundreds of five-year-olds, I believe.
I'd like to say it was hundreds. Dozens probably, and dozens and dozens.
Probably not much different from being with you and me, thanks.
True, yeah. It's probably fairly similar. It probably just smells better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can have hot cups of tea legally, so yeah. That's all good. No health and safety problems.
But did they have cake?
There's lovely. Where I go is actually McNade in Faversham, and oh. So it's I pick my class spaces very well, and
right.
So all the it's brilliant because the people who go to the classes can have tea and coffee downstairs
and
cake
coffee,
as
though.
Can I? They do, and then they come up above the cafe to the class. So lovely.
Now you did ask me to tell the listeners how I first met you and under what circumstances. Oh no, you didn't. Oh, that's right, you didn't. So I won't. Because she gave me a look there that daggered. No, I won't mention that. I'll tell you what, Emily, why don't you start off by telling the small number of listeners that don't already know what Reading Fairy does and what it's all about and why it's just such a superb idea.
Thank you very much. I'd love to. So Reading Fairy teaches children the principles for learning to read and loving books. But what's unusual is we start at birth and end at 5. And the whole principle is around bringing all those classic crucial building blocks to help children. Some of the things are really simple. We have characters to take parents and children through. So a lot of things are things like nursery rhymes, and we have our own original songs as well. But we move all the way through to fun phonics, which are fun activities around sounds. And I always say, does it matter? So here's one to try. Does it matter if you are doing your phonics? These days they're taught for mat, whereas in the old days we were taught matter. If you put
right,
that together,
yeah.
It's matter. So I always say, does it matter? Right. To remind them to use their pure sounds. And then we've also got book bear time, so sharing lovely stories, which is so important. And the whole principle of what we do is it's not just about the process of learning to read, but it's the importance of loving books, which is so often not part of what we do anymore. And it's absolutely critical for children's futures.
Absolutely.
Now, may I ask a question, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
No, go on.
Are you making up your own stories or are you reading popular stories?
So it's a complete combination of both. So our sensory stories are completely our own, and then we have stories. So sensory stories, just to give people an idea, for example, today it was Christmas theme, and we went for a walk in the winter woodland, and we would use things like feathers for the snow, and there are bubbles when the magic happens, and we have puppets and various things like that.
So it's very interactive.
Mm. Very interactive. That's really important with little ones. And then you're moving up to action storytelling, and today, so that's where we would use traditional tales, which are often have gone out of fashion, unfortunately, and yet those are the absolute basis for children learning to read and actually learning to write. So today we were looking at the Gingerbread Man, obviously a classic, and once children understand those processes, we've got actions that the children do. They can stand up and be quite physical. Once they get right much older, we've got Punctuation Panda, and that's a bit crazy because so for
I want to meet him.
Is that like apostrophe Nazis, but for kids?
It's a bit crazy, actually, but it's really great for the boys to get them into their punctuation and grammar. So, yeah. For example, a full stop, you can imagine you do a punch. So, full stop, punch, full stop, punch, full stop, punch, and then exclamation mark, cut the air and bang at the bottom. You can imagine the kids absolutely love all of that.
I get that. I do love that. It's odd, isn't it? Especially in this day and age with social media and stuff like that and texts, where our written language becomes more and more diverse, say the least.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot you can do about it because you're restricted by the things you can type and put and all the
Absolutely.
Rest of it. And that's no excuse for continuing that when you don't need to do it, which, of course, a lot of people do. I'm fascinated by this. As an avid reader myself and someone, I won't bore you with the details.
You love Enid Blyton of the night, don't you?
I'm working my way towards Enid Blyton. It's a bit the
Secret
words are a bit
seven.
Long for me
Secret
at the moment.
Seven.
Yeah.
Or is up the faraway tree quite a lot?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I had a really interesting experience with reading at school. But my mum actually taught me to read before I went to school. That just threw the school authorities no
That's
end.
Lovely Betty.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't go into that because that's completely immaterial. What I want to explore with you is how it works as a business as well as anything
absolutely.
Else. And also, of course, the critical thing is what you actually do.
Yeah.
And you did say, and I noticed all of us kind of looked at you. You went from birth to five, and we all went, "How's that happened then?"
Yeah.
So you're going to have to explain yourself there.
Because children can't obviously read. But what is absolutely proven is even from actually amazingly in the womb, children actually can respond to sounds and music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of those stimulus, they're all things that actually help to enrich. And so obviously at that stage, it's also about helping parents to remember forgotten nursery rhymes, which are the very basic principles. If you can't tell and you haven't got those dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of traditional nursery rhymes which we would just
pass on
if they're not passed on, you are actually not giving children the best opportunity. And there's so much research that can prove it. So if people come to the Book Babies classes, they come in and we would be doing lots of gentle nursery rhymes. We also do tactile books, so allowing children to sort of feel there's beautiful tactile books out there now. So, and helping parents to know which books are best and when. Mm. So, for example, high contrast colours, black and white, from about sort of 3 to 6 months, children can start to really focus on the page. And they're actually books now, and some of our own stuff that we're starting to develop to really help children to do that. Mm. Moving up to the sensory storytelling, which is really magical. And I suppose in a way, a lot of that is awakening kids' senses. There's some songs and some music. We've talked about the bubbles, the feathers, and children, even scents, lavender, smells of lavender, if we're walking through a summer walk. So it's a whole host of things. And then obviously it gets more, as you would imagine the classes to be, more obvious as the children get older through Story Stars and then Reading Recruits, which is quite a physical experience.
So the mums bring them to this, and then
yes,
the mums go off and leave a little group with you.
Yeah,
so
I'm
not going to get a break.
No, it's actually, this is all about parent or carer and child. And amazingly, we get a lot of grandparents as well, which is fantastic now. I think that's quite increasingly something that happens, as well as carers, because both parents or a parent, single parent, may be at work, and so the carers come. But the customer is ultimately the parent or the carer of that child.
Right.
And it's always an adult and child-led class, which is quite familiar, I would say, in the preschool activity market, and is really lovely, because it's actually about us helping parents. We want them to go, and the children start school feeling really informed. So they're almost going there knowing what the process for reading is, and how they can carry that on through primary school, which is just so wonderful.
Absolutely.
And how are the primary schools accepting you?
Well, we've been really lucky. So, for example, the Book Trust, which is a big national charity, they commissioned us to launch on BBC News a few months ago. Every reception child in the school received a book bag, and so Reading Fairy was there to launch that, and as a result went and did some work with some reception schools and classrooms in early years classrooms with the book bag that the Book Trust had done, and that was an amazing experience. And obviously personally I felt very passionate about that. It was a book called Open Very Carefully, interestingly, by a publishing startup. They started 4 years ago. They're now massively global. That was the book that the Book Trust chose. So good for them, really, because that's another example of a fantastic entrepreneur, Kate Wilson, who took that on. And now, and to think that every child who started school in England received one of their books, which is lovely. And we were involved in that. So generally, we're finding, you know, a very positive response.
At the other end of the equation, and this isn't an issue for you per se, although to my mind, you're starting this process. I'm very heavily involved with the FSB, and I'm the regional lead on education and youth employment. And one of the biggest problems we find with young people coming out of school is poor reading, poor English and math skills after all those years at school.
And that for me is a personal mission. You know, I think you know I'm very ambitious, but one of the things that drives me isn't just about the money. It's also about the need in society to really address it in quite a serious way. So 40% of children in the UK leave school unable to read and write to a basic required standard. I think the statistics,
it's frightening, isn't it?
Children,
it's absolutely
leaving,
frightening.
In Kent, I think 1 in 7 left a Kent primary school, certainly last year, without the right levels. There's some amazing work going on where kids are doing fantastic stuff, but it has been acknowledged and addressed currently, and a lot of charities and a lot of institutions are working very hard. The Read On Get On program with the National Literacy Trust, there are all sorts of things that we really support, and I'd love Reading Fairy to be so successful that we could almost, you know, a bit like Jojo Mamon Bebe or places like, I could see in 10 years time, I'd love to be at the forefront of a mission to actually address it across, you know, a wider spectrum.
Absolutely. And I think what you're doing is exactly what's needed. Because it strikes me, and I don't know this for sure, I'm making some assumptions here, but based on how education has been run for the last few years with an obsession of targets and not really being very child-centred at all, it's all about targets for this, that and the other, I think a lot of kids have kind of lost the point of what's going on. Many years ago, one of the only things I enjoyed at school was stories being read to, not just reading myself, but being inspired to want to read by somebody that can read a story, reading it to you. And I don't mean just, you know, like we sit here and read out an email, you know, read it with passion and with character.
Characters and all the noises.
We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, really, I think that inspires kids to want to read when they get immersed in a story.
And I mean, I'd like to think that in the last few years, the good practice that I've seen in a lot of schools, and I have to say there's some amazing things, and authors as well visiting schools.
Yeah.
Storytelling's now much more at the heart of the early curriculum. I know less about secondary school, I have to say, but but certainly in primary, I think, you know, going on a bear hunt, the Michael Rosen classic and all of that, you do see those actually a lot more in the classroom. And when I go into classes now, children are quite familiar with the concept of what a storyteller is, you know, which a few years ago, I think that would have been, you know, the idea that you tell a story without a book would be a bit bizarre.
I find it quite sad as the mum of two boys that I don't know whether you had this, Paul, but when they get to a certain age, around 10, I had to bring in sort of non-fiction books, so sort of engineering-y things or sort of slightly more techie books to sort of keep them informed and using them.
Because you asked me, and neither of my boys are both of them read, but they're not huge readers in the way that I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a maniac reader. I read.
I love reading.
I read at least three books a week.
That's very
easily because I'm a quick reader anyway. But one of the things I never stop them. I don't care what they read.
Yeah.
I really don't care.
Yeah,
comics. I don't care. As long as they read something, I'm happy. You know, I'm not going to try and force them to read Shakespeare or Chaucer or anything like that, because I think that's where it goes wrong sometimes. You know. Back in the day, and it's not like this now, I know it's not, but back in the day when I was at school, that was what happened. You were told to read certain things. And, you know, as a working class kid at an inner city school, I don't even understand this. It's a foreign language. Why am I reading this? It's nonsense. You might appreciate it later. And my view on it is, if you let kids read something, eventually they'll discover Shakespeare, Chaucer, or whatever it is they're going to discover later on in terms of the classics or Dickens or whatever. Get them to read anything, though.
I agree. I think if you can get that bug, you know, they get the reading bug, then that's fantastic. And as you say, you can draw in other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think as well there is that balance, because I think you can challenge, but you need really, really good professional people that, a bit like you were saying, that are going to inspire.
Yeah.
So that it might be a really complex text, but if you get the right person saying it, you're immersed and actually you understand that language. And we've lost that ability, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you're doing, and I love the way that you're doing it as well, because it is multifaceted in terms of what you're doing. You're not just sitting there and reading stories to kids.
No.
There's all kinds of tactile things. I'm president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
Yeah, I know. It's wonderful.
And that's an issue as well, because children with hearing difficulties are quite slow at communicating, both written and spoken, because, you know, of the problems they have, and it takes time. But of course, reading is one of the few things that they can do once you've taught them to do it, and can immerse them in a world that's useful. So again, as kids get older, storytelling becomes about signing stories as well. So it is an interactive activity. And I think with all the tactile things that you introduce into it too, it just makes it far more manageable for kids with those kind of problems. I love what you do, and I think it really is crucial. It's entertaining as much as anything else. It's not just crucial, is it? It's not just useful from a development point of view. It's actually entertainment.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's at the heart.
Absolutely. And you do write some of your own stories.
Yes.
Is that something that you do personally, or do you have story writers?
No, there's a few of us, but Charlotte Raby and I mainly write the majority of them.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Because your background was in publishing.
Yes, my background. I worked for Penguin Children's Books for Lady Bird. I was a commissioning editor there.
Right.
And Pearson. And before I came here, quit my job and decided to set up a business, I was at Oxford University Press.
Right.
So, I love working with people and writing books and putting things together. And in fact, we're working on our character brand for our own Reading Fairy and Friends, right. Which is lovely.
Fantastic. I was going to ask you something else, and I can't think what it was now.
About the business? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. I want to come on to your business in a minute, but it was specifically about... Oh, I know what it was. It is, you made reference to storytellers.
Yes.
And that's something that's starting to make a big comeback in all kinds of
facets.
Absolutely. You know, even I've seen, going around Canterbury, there's the Wise Words Festival that we had in
summer. Wonderful festival.
Which was absolutely brilliant, where people rock up into a pub and just tell stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is such a... an old human trait.
Absolutely.
That we lost for a long, long time. Mm.
And there might be a backlash because we've all gone so techie and, you know, maybe there will be a backlash and it will go back. What do you think?
I think it is. And I think the great thing about technology is you can then use that to tell people where things are at, and you can kind of like come up with ideas. People like Dan Simpson, who does the Twitter poetry, and you know, there's loads of ways to use new media. But as you say, coming back to the storytelling, it's a thing.
I love that whole thing about people coming and telling stories and what have you. I just think it's really great that we've kind of started to reintroduce that, because of course for many years, and certainly before the written word, it was how myths and stories and histories were passed on in human cultures.
So I've just passed Emily the
legend.
Lovely Oliver.
Yeah.
Remind me Oliver's surname?
McNeil.
Because I think the synergy between the two of them, or the synergy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's fantasy stuff.
Yeah, it would be fantastic.
I want to kind of focus a little bit on the business side of what you do now. Yeah. I know that's not the most important for you, that you're passionate about the reading.
Well, I do like the business side, I have to say. I'm quite blessed that I get as much of a kick out of the business side as I do about the education and reading.
Okay, so the business has been going just over a year now?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so where are we? How's it gone? What's been the process? What you know, as I mean, because you've been nominated for an award
We made the finals. We were finalists in the Mum and Work Awards, which was a big national competition for Startup of the Year, which was very exciting. And we've also had, as I say, we've worked with national companies now like the Book Trust, Oxford University Press. We've done all sorts of bits and pieces. And it's been quite extraordinary what we've done in the last 12 months. I'm also sitting now, Reading Fairy is part of a group called the Children's Activities Association, which is a new organization, community interest company, because I was absolutely shocked even when I set up. It was just a very new concept that they were doing there, but it's all the biggest sort of preschool activity businesses have come together, and everyone has an opportunity to be a part of it in some way. But I'm on the steering committee because I couldn't believe how unregulated the 0-5 preschool activity market was. If you're in a preschool actual school setting, it's very well regulated, Sure Start centers, all that. But if you're just setting up, anyone can just go and rock up in a hall, and people don't know whether there's a good curriculum behind it. They don't know if the person has been, you know, what the child protection policy is, whether they've even got, you know, proper insurance and that sort of thing. So we've been involved in that as well. So a lot.
Right, okay. But you have done a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you can't tell us very much about this, but you've got some exciting things that you opened out.
I'd really wanted to come on and today and sort of announce it, because I feel that that, you know, you've been a part of the journey right from the very beginning. But hopefully, what I can say is that next year,
I almost said I was at the naked birth of this, but I won't say any more.
Basically, it does look like Reading Fairy's got some wonderful opportunities, and I think we will be hopefully, certainly across Kent and national, a lot faster than I had anticipated, which is really exciting.
So how will your franchises work?
Well, we're sort of in the final phases of that, but at the moment we're looking we've got quite a clever way, I think, is all I can say of how we're going to spread that.
She's teasing us now. She's playing with us. She's teasing us so that she can come back.
It?
Yeah, she's telling us. She's spinning.
The last
she's spinning us a yarn, so we want to hear the end of it. So we've got to ask her back in a few weeks' time so that she can tell us the last instalment of her journey.
What's your storytelling?
Exactly.
She's only on chapter one.
Exactly. No, it's fantastic stuff. Emily, look, thank you for coming along and sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
An absolute pleasure to have you back here again. Give us a shout out for how people can find out more about you, your website, your Twitter handles, your Facebook pages, or anything you want to give us like that.
Thank you, I will. So readingfairy.com is our website, @readingfairyltd for limited is our Twitter handle, and you can find us on Facebook and find lots of lovely stuff for Christmas at the moment, /readingfairy.
Fantastic. Emily, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Jules.
We will watch you with enormous interest as your business continues to grow and unfold and dominate the world, the world of reading and
everyone's going to be reading.
Yeah, exactly. And quite right too.
Thank you.
We are totally behind you with that. For those that don't know, on Channel Radio here, which is the main station that broadcasts this show, on Sunday afternoons we do our own plays and poetry readings and our own story readings, and we have done since day one of this station. And we do that.
I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. At the Arts Hour on a Sunday we do story readings and all kinds.
Nothing like having a story read to you. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're totally on board with what you're saying and where you're coming from. We wish you all power, and continued success.
Thank you.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We're kind of running out of time. We've got dozens of tweets, loads of emails. I just want to read I've had a tweet from the workroom, e-commerce_Kent, that says, "Hi, Vanilla Web, can we have a shout-out, please? We are an e-commerce development company in Kent, and we built Supply My Business, who are today's show sponsor." So thank you. That's Neil and the team at e-commerce_Kent, the workroom.
Now,
thank
Neil loves to buy me Prosecco. He often has done.
Has he?
In the past, yeah, in Canterbury, where they're based.
Tenterton Twilight, who I mentioned earlier, I think I must have got it right, because they said, "Business Bunker, thanks for a fab show today. You covered everything we asked. Thank you."
Makes
so
a change.
So there you go. Yeah, we got something right. I don't know how we managed that.
Did you know that Cripps Law has seen its profits grow 18% to 3.2 million in the first half of the financial year. Congratulations, guys. So this law firm made a solid first half of its financial year with profits up 18% to 3.2 million. And Cripps, who, as you may know, listener, is based in Tunbridge Wells, Kings Hill, and also in Sandwich, has boosted its income by 9% to 13.4 million in the 6 months up until October. And the result comes in the wake of high rankings in the Chambers UK guide, they say, a legal performance annual, which describe the firm as one of the strongest practices outside London. So well done, all the guys, Cripps Law. Fantastic. You know, Tilly, my lovely Tilly.
Tilly Clark.
Yeah, she left Cripps Law.
Did she?
Yeah.
Where's she gone?
She's gone to live over yonder somewhere. I don't know.
Over yonder?
She sent me an email a while back.
Is that a place in Wales?
She's over yonder.
Over yonder, or is that the Rhondda?
No, that's the Rhondda.
Ah, sorry.
Yeah.
So she's not over yonder in the Rhondda?
No, she's not.
We don't know where she's gone.
I love your chancing of poetry, but it's not really working for me.
That was Emily's influence.
Have you booked in yet, Paul Andrews?
No.
There are no membership fees, and it's relaxed and informal, and this is the Spitfire Networking on the first Thursday of every month at Kings Hill Golf Club. The next meeting's the 3rd of December, which is Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday.
Yeah, not manana.
Not manana, it's the day after manana.
It's between 12 to 2.30, and it costs just £10.
Hey, you're like this.
Shall I finish this one?
Oh, go on.
And it is.
Get on with it.
It's in Dartford Road, Dartford, Kent, and it's the Spitfire Networking.
Fantastic.
Over to you,
thank you,
Paul Andrews.
Thank you. You'll like this. The Barrister Broker has tweeted.
I love him.
Jules Serkin. He said, I'm listening to the Business Bunker show while standing on a bus and hanging on a strap for dear life.
Ooh.
Jules, you sound gorgeous. Your guests have been brilliant. So
they
thank
are.
You. So Russell, hanging on a strap on a bus at London Bridge, is listening to Emily.
You know,
and
I'm
Kenny
getting a nice vision of a little barrister broker all strapped up.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, on a bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he on the roof or?
Oh, I don't know. No, he's hanging from a strap.
You never know, do you?
Anyway, it's that time again.
Channel Radio News Update.
Right, it's time for the FSB News Roundup and Update. The autumn statement spending plans that were announced by Chancellor George Osborne has revealed that there's a £250 million package to find a solution to Operation Stack.
Oh, well, about time.
Yeah. The cash will be used to build an off-road lorry park accessed directly from the M20.
In your back garden.
Which can be used whenever delays occur. Folkestone and Hythe MP Damian Collins said it meant the days of Operation Stack are coming to an end. In September, a working group put together a £468 million package of measures to cope with freight traffic should channel crossings be delayed. And earlier this month, Ms. Collins led a delegation of Kent MPs to see the Chancellor to underline the importance and urgency of solving Operation Stack, both to the County of Kent and to the country as a whole. Mr. Collins said the funding for these new facilities means that we can keep the motorway traffic flowing in both directions, even when Operation Stack is enforced. It will also remove the pressure on local roads caused when restrictions on access to the motorway has been in place. We are also going to use the new facilities to end once and for all, and about time too, lorries parking up and around on local roads and residential areas, even in times when Operation Stack isn't in place. They can now be forced to use the new parking facilities off the motorways. So that is brilliant news. We wait to see it in practice, but it's going in the right direction at last.
There's new guidance about 0 hours contracts, and it's been published. The Department for Business, the BIS, has published guidance for employers about how 0 hour contracts should be used appropriately. And the guidance provides examples of best practice, such as clear advertising, that a job role will be under a 0 hours contract and the hours will not be guaranteed. It also states that late cancellation of work is unacceptable, except in truly unavoidable circumstances. Suggested alternatives to 0 hours contracts outlined in the guidance include offering existing staff overtime, recruiting a part-time employee, or using temporary staff from an agency. There's also a two-year plan to increase take-up of R&D tax relief. HM Revenue and Customs, the HMRC, has announced a two-year plan to increase take-up of research and development, the R&D tax relief amongst small firms. So measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of R&D tax relief and provide business certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. You can go to find out more on 3ws.gov.uk Government News Boost for Small Businesses.
Fantastic, thank you. There's an FSB Skills 3030 event on Thursday the 3rd of December. That'll be the day after Manana.
After Manana.
Yeah, and it's taking place from 12.30 to 3.30 at the Longfield Academy, Main Road, Longfield, near Dartford in Kent. 30 businesses and 30 students will be thrown together at the first FSB Skills 3030 event. If you're looking to recruit, care about your next employee and the future workforce, then this is an event for you. What we're doing here is it's like speed networking. We're going to have 30 employers and then 30 students from year 13 who will take it in turn to speak to each of the employers and find out about what their businesses do, what their businesses does, and what kind of skills those businesses need in order to work there. Yeah, because one of the big findings from the FSB survey of our members, 6,000 members, about why they're not hiring young people is that our businesses aren't interested in qualifications, they are interested in skills and attitudes. And that's, we're trying to build bridges with schools. So we've got the very first event at Longfield Academy on Thursday.
Consultation on business rates appeals system. The Department for Communities and Local Government has launched a consultation on proposals to improve the appeals system for business rates. A straightforward three-stage appeals process has been proposed and the consultation is open until the 4th of January. Marcus Jones, the Minister for Local Government, said the business rates appeals process has been in a decades-long deadlock, hampered by unscrupulous agents making speculative appeals, sometimes for businesses unaware that this is being done on their behalf. So again, you can find out more details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. There's a new tax guide. HMRC are replacing their current Starting Your Own Business e-learning tutorial with a new and improved version. Woo. to get a look at the new product, click on hmrc.gov.uk/courses. You've chosen to get your new business off to a flying start by getting your tax right first time. So we're going to tell you how to do that. Get to grips with the taxes for your business. Let HMRC know you're self-employed, how to keep records and claim expenses, and plan your tax returns and payments. We'll tell you what you need to know and to do to get your tax first time, every time. That'll be novel. There's only 12,000 pages of tax law to get your head round.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Some reading going on there then.
Yeah.
The fabulous Bill Fox, the chairman of FSB Medway.
Kent and Medway.
Kent and Medway, thank you. He says that there are some skills workshops coming up. So the 3rd of December, which is after mañana, you've got the FSB Skills 3030 at the Longfield Academy.
Yeah, which I just mentioned.
So moving swiftly on, the 5th of December, there's the Small Business Saturday, which we're really promoting, aren't we?
Absolutely. Small Business Saturday, this Saturday, the 5th of December, go into your local shops, independent suppliers, small businesses, and partake of their services, or you're going to lose it.
And the hashtag to use on the Twitter is SmallBizSatUK. So that's SmallBizSatUK. And don't just go in on the 5th of December, go in every day. And spend a little bit, and it'll all go around.
Spend shed loads.
Yeah, otherwise you'll go and your little butcher and your baker will no longer be there.
Yep.
I did notice, actually, I was ranting, Sainsbury's is just opening in Whitstable High Street, and none of us really wanted it, and they're marketing themselves as your local.
Mm.
I nearly choked. But very clever marketing, of course.
Absolutely. Talking about big corporates.
Yeah.
The European Parliament, at last, have pulled their finger out and are planning to revamp corporation tax. The European Parliament Special Committee on Tax Rulings has voted to adopt its recommendations for making corporate taxes in the EU fairer and more transparent. It's about time. MEPs intended to push ahead with ambitious plans to promote comprehensive EU tax reform, and the committee's measures are intended to prevent multinationals from moving profits to low tax jurisdictions within the EU, which is how all of these big chains have been getting away with paying no tax, because they just re-register in Luxembourg or Brussels or wherever it's convenient for whatever their business is. So the EU tax rulings are going to close those loopholes and contradictions within the EU's 28 national tax laws. They are going to be closed. MEPs are basing their recommendations on the principle that multinational companies should pay their taxes where they make the profit. Okay? Apart from the loss of public income, it's considered unfair that big companies pay very little tax on their profits, while small and medium-sized businesses have to pay everything. It doesn't say that. I made that
you
bit
made
up.
That, yeah, you added that. I can tell you've embellished it.
I added that bit, but it is true. So they are going to close that loophole at last.
Very good.
And that is going to have a massive, massive impact on public finances in the UK, because it means a lot of businesses will be paying their full taxes here rather than spreading it around in low-tax jurisdictions.
And talking of massive impact, I'm hoping that the lovely Billy Dean, SOS Computers, is going to have a massive impact on my broadband on Monday.
If he gets out of your wardrobe.
If he gets out of my
and
wardrobe.
And he's not caught under your bed.
He doesn't find my Christmas cake under my bed. Now, did you know, lastly, small firms are dissatisfied with legal professionals.
I saw that, yeah.
My teeth. Small firms dissatisfaction.
Go on, tell us about it, Jules.
With legal services providers has remained unchanged over the last 2 years, and research published by the Legal Services Board, the LSB, has indicated this. So in 2013, the LSB research revealed that just 13% of small firms believe lawyers are cost-effective, and a survey of 10,528 small firms earlier this year produced the same results. Many of the firms recently questioned said they went to an accountant rather than a lawyer for legal help, and around 1 in 2 described lawyers as a last resort. This is where we go back to our friend Barrister Broker yet
Absolutely.
Again. He's hanging on a strap somewhere.
No, he's not. He's just tweeted to say he's unstrapped.
Oh, really?
He has just tweeted. He said, thanks for the shout out, guys. I am now fully unstrapped.
The vision is there.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance as well that says, Business Bunker, hi Paul and Jules. We're just catching the end of the show while writing our latest blog about insuring tools and equipment. That's the lovely folks at Cascade Insurance, Cascade_INS. We're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for that. I want to tell you about what's coming up next on Channel Radio. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show, Arts and Culture. That is followed by Craig Avery, the lady's favourite, with his stripy socks, with his entertainment and movie show. Then at 7, we have...
Welcome on to the New Potatoes Show.
At 7 p.m. we have the New Potatoes Show, 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music, hand-chosen and lovingly presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews. That is followed by a very new show that we have at 9 o'clock, which is called I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. It's a comedy 60s show. Do have a listen to that. And then We round off the evening with this.
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So that's the rest of Tuesday evening mapped out for you, culminated with a fabulous Club Culture show with Boy George later on tonight. But sadly, we're at the end of the show for another week. I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsor, Start My Business, and to our two fabulous guests, Mr. Keith Stevenson of Active Enrolments and the lovely Emily Goulet-Marrett of Reading Fairy. Thank you so much. I'd like to say a massive thank you to everybody, and they're still tweeting now. I'm sorry I haven't read everybody's tweets out, but we've just had so many. But do keep them coming. Thank you so much to all the businesses out there that have tweeted us, emailed us, listened into the show. Yeah,
and please don't forget to follow Julia Manick. She has a brain tumour. She needs everyone to sign a petition so that she can get some research.
I did read that out earlier.
Yeah, but let's do it again.
Absolutely. Everybody. And you can follow her on the Twitter. It's Julia Manick.
That's it.
Is that just Julia Manick?
Julia Manick, yeah. Follow her, everyone.
And sign her petition.
She's only got 83 followers. We want to see that treble.
So, come on, support her and support what she's doing. Thank you. We will be back with you next week with another Business Bunker show. You're not here next week, are you, Jules?
I'm interviewing Michelle Rood Jr. I'm going into his inner sanctum.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm having my roots done on Tuesday.
Is that?
Yes, and I'm lunching with him and all sorts.
Was that a precondition of you seeing him?
Well,
that he said, no, I'm not talking to her until she's had her roots done. Is that right?
Well, I'll probably have a facial as well, you know, just in case. So, yes, I'm sorry about that, but I'll be back the next week.
No, it's all right, we won't miss you.
But Michelle Rood, you know. Inner sanctum, darling.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we will be back next week, as always. Do join us on the Business Bunker show. But for the moment, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. The show will be up to listen again and to download as a podcast very shortly. But we will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.